B-Pod Studios.
The Felger and Mazz podcast is presented by DraftKings Sportsbook.
Now, the show you'll be talking about.
That was not me hemming and hawing.
In therapy.
Socks.
It's Felger and Mazz, presented by DraftKings Sportsbook on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
I feel like we are, at this point, sort of, I know I heard it today, this idea that when is the Miami Heat going to turn into a pumpkin? And I just don't buy that. They're a damn good basketball team. They've got a track record. They played well the last 6 to 8 weeks of the regular season. They beat the Milwaukee Bucks. They beat the New York Knicks. They got up 3-0 against the Boston Celtics. They're damn good. Yeah. It's going to be extremely tough to win game five, much less win games five, six, and seven.
I disagree with J.J. Redick. I think they're playing damn well, the Heat. I think that they've got some great qualities that I would love to have in any team that I rooted for. Really, a lot of things. I think they're really likable. I think the cliche, they play the right way. They have great togetherness and buy-in. A lot of great qualities about that Heat team. I would not say that they're damn good. They're not. They're playing really well, and they've got great qualities, but No. No, sir. This is a team that is not in the Celtics class talent for talent. So they should not lose tonight. They should not lose this series. Even down 3-0, they should not lose this series. Not lowering the bar just because they've gone down 3-0 to a team they shouldn't have gone down to. So, nope. No escape hatch there for the Celtics. They should win this game. They should win this series. That's how I feel about that.
Yeah, so they absolutely should win the series. They should have won it from the start. But the problem is that they, you know, they blew two of the first three games, and they blew them at home. I mean, even if they had won just one of those first two, be a dead Heat right now. Okay, so fine, the series is going long, but you're right in the middle of it. You're going nose to nose. You're still behind two. You haven't had a lead in the series. Like, you've never commanded the series. And so there's never been a real spot where there's been pressure on Miami. And until it gets to that point, like, I'm just not giving the Celtics the benefit of the doubt. I'm not telling you that Miami's better than them, but there's very little reason for me to have faith in the Celtics at this point.
Okay, so that obviously Celtics Heat Game 5 is on the board. We're talking about this OTA violation by the Patriots and what it means. I think it's a really interesting story. That's on the board. Mazz did his tiers this week and listed the all-time great Boston sports comebacks. And he's, when I say all-time, it's really modern era. Our lifetime, meaning Mazz and I's lifetime. I think the oldest one you had on there was Red Sox, Angels, 86?
No, 75 Red Sox.
Oh, 75 Red Sox. Okay,
so call it the last 50 years.
Okay, last 50 years. And that's generated some conversation. There's three in the top tier?
Yes, that's correct.
And the top tier is?
The top tier is the Red Sox comeback against the Yankees in 2004. Patriots 28-3, and the Patriots over the Seahawks down 10 in the fourth quarter.
Okay, there's some really good ones there in tiers 2, 3, 4, and 5. It's amazing how many we've had just in this generation. It's awesome. So it was a great list. I'm sure you've posted it online, Mazz.
You know what? I don't know if Kevin Maggiore did. Yep, he did. It's 90, online.
98.5thesportshub.com or the app if you want to give it a listen. People have been reacting to that, so you'll hear some of that as well. To your calls here in the final hour. Paul and Blackstone, lead us off. What do you got, Paul?
Hey, guys, just so I can say it back to you, as you just detailed, the Celtics haven't been playing well for weeks on end, right? They're already trying to come back from down 3-0, and we need a degree of difficulty as to how they actually win these games. Yeah, guys, making shots is for bums. I need to see them win when they miss a lot. You know, that's ridiculous. Can they just win Eastern Conference Finals games? Is that okay? Can we just do that?
Okay, so listen,
yeah, sure, I mean, like, a win's a win, but we have seen it. Like, when they get out to big leads and everyone's shots are dropping, Horford's, White, everyone else, all those secondary players, like, it feels a little hollow to me. It just does.
But if you win a championship doing that, I'm not going to diminish it. Maybe you're missing the point of this, is that for them to win a championship, I think they have to win other ways than just draining threes.
Right.
Okay, so, but if I'm wrong and they win a championship just draining threes, then I'm not going to take anything away from them, like their championship is somehow lesser because they did it by shooting threes. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying if you want to come all the way back in this series and win the next one, You're going to have to win a couple games where you're not just making all your three-pointers. That's all I'm saying.
Because the first three games of this series, I mean, the threes weren't dropping, and they look at a zone defense and crap their pants when rather than trying to figure it out or maybe take mid-range jumpers. Instead, we don't know what to do and our shots aren't dropping.
I mean, those teams that are one-dimensional, and what you're talking about is basically one-dimensional, that the only way you're going to win is making threes, they almost never win it.
It's true.
So the whole concept of 3-and-D, you got to play the other half of that.
Riley in the car on Joe Judge. Yes, Riley.
Hey, guys. So obviously we know why Joe Judge is still around. It's because it's not coming out of the team's pocket, mostly, and that he carries the water for Bill. Okay, but now he's cost Bill. And, you know, it might not be a huge cost, but, you know, Bill is Mr. Preparation, so I can't see this sitting very well with him. So my question to you guys is, what's it going to take, you know, obviously all the players hate him. What's it going to take for Bill to say the juice is not worth the squeeze of this guy?
I don't think it's because I think he knows that if he lets Joe Judge go, it reflects on him. So it looks like he cares about Joe Judge. I don't think he does. I think he cares about himself and how that reflects on him. So, no, I don't think Joe Judge is going anywhere. But it's so true. I mean, so what happens when you usually when you cheap out in anything, it usually costs you down the line somehow, some way. And it comes back to you and you don't get the savings you thought you were going to get. So he has Joe Judge on his staff because he's free. Well, now you knock $50,000 off of whatever he saved you on your salary on the other end, which makes perfect sense because that's what happens when you cheap out.
I can't tell you what I would pay to find out who dimed him out. Because again, like, did Mac Jones put someone up to it? Like, I want to know the details behind that. Like, that'd be a good one. Did Mac Jones, like, say to someone in special teams, what are you doing that for? Work an extra 20 minutes. That's not part of the CBA. That's Bill's fault, too. Why don't you call someone, call the union?
Tell you what, you can come with me and Sophie to Taylor Swift if you dime them out.
Dan in the car on Maz's Tears. Hi, Dan.
Hey, I don't think you guys mentioned Pat's Chiefs AFC Championship. I don't know if you considered a comeback. It was pretty back and forth, but Brady had to lead a TD drive with under 2 minutes against the Chiefs in Arrowhead.
But, you know, didn't Mahomes do it too? Isn't that more like back and forth?
Yes.
Versus comeback?
Yeah, it crossed my mind, but it wasn't a...
Were they ever down?
No, they had a big lead at halftime in that game, remember?
Yeah. Yes, but they were definitely down that last possession when, you know, Brady threw the interception, it was called back, they were down.
Oh, right, okay.
Because the game was over if his face wasn't offsides.
Right, D. Ford. But then Mahomes came back and got a field goal at the end to force the game to overtime,
didn't
he?
Yes.
Yeah, so like...
That was just a shootout.
Yeah, not a true comeback in my estimation.
Did you have the, I think you did, the 0-1 Celtics against the Nets?
Yes, 0-2 it was.
0-2, yeah. The 0-2, yeah. The Antoine Walker team.
Yep, down 21, down 21 in the
fourth. In the fourth quarter.
What tier was that?
That was tier three, maybe.
He also had the Bruins Leafs in tier four?
Tier three,
which I thought I would have put that tier two.
No, nope, no title.
He's got the reasoning for you, but you can go back and listen to the full clip. Colby in the car on the Celts. Hi, Colby.
Yeah, I think Deuce Tatum needs to be banned from all team activities. Jason Tatum should probably have his parental rights taken away during the postseason. He's a bigger distraction than Donald Sterling, and it would be nice if Jalen Luther King could make a three.
Okay, I didn't like the tone of half of that, but we've talked about the kid. The kid, I don't know. I know there's a lot of kids around a lot of teams and a lot of players. It feels different with Tatum. And until he wins, it can be sort of held against him.
I got no problem with Deuce. I got a problem with Jason. The kid's not the problem. The kid playing is the problem.
Back with more of your calls right after this.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Felger and Maz on the Sports Hub.
For the record, here's good news for Boston. In elimination games, I know we can be critical of Jason Tatum, but he's still one of the top 7-8 players in the league. In elimination games, he averages 30 points. They go back to Boston. He'll be comfortable. In these elimination games, he averages 30 points, 9 rebounds, 6.5 assists, and shoots 42% from three-point land. So game 5 in Boston is going to be one for the ages. My gut feeling this morning is Miami goes back, plays intense basketball. The coaching mismatch resurfaces, and somehow Miami wiggles out of there with a win. I think Miami's going to end this series. My gut this morning is in Boston, but game 5 just got really interesting, and these are games. Jason Tatum, the numbers tell you, at home, elimination game, he can be pretty good.
A lot riding on Tatum. Obviously, it's our buddy Colin Cowherd. I see Jaylen Brown step up and do something, too. Either way, Celtics are expected to win and win big. According to Vegas, according to the algorithms, according to I don't know who else, but the people who know.
I don't know how to feel about this, but I felt...
Yeah, I was going to ask you, Murray, what do you think?
I don't know. So I kind of deep down knew they were going to win the other night. I won money on them. And I don't know. I'm kind of like afraid to bet on the Celtics tonight, even though they probably should win. They should be favored. They looked better than the Heat. They're such gutless bums, though, and they suck at home. Again, that number, the worst in NBA history over a two-season span of the postseason. 10-11 at home in the postseason over the last 2 years. That's terrible.
You should be afraid to bet them. I mean, they're that kind of team. I wouldn't touch this team with a 10-foot pole. Forget it. No way. They're just not reliable. So this is what makes the whole thing so irritating is that the talent is there. They have the talent. They just don't have the makeup. And so that's what makes it so frustrating. If they didn't have the talent, you'd look at them and say, "Are you playing with house money?" But they're not that kind of team. They're not trustworthy.
Okay, your thoughts. Trust them tonight? Nick and Needham, you trust them tonight?
Hey guys, thanks for taking my call. If they lose, and just in general, I'm tired of hearing about, and I don't want to hear about, how the coach didn't prepare them, how the coach didn't get them motivated, didn't get them energized. I mean, it's on them. They're grown men. They get paid a lot of money to do everything they can to win. That's the bottom line. You know, and especially if you're going to talk about how your coach is learning, and all that stuff, I don't want to hear about, they're not playing as hard because of coaching and they don't like how things are being run in the organization. I find that whole narrative to be really annoying.
Agreed. Agreed. Jaylen Brown's going to stick his chest out. We showed what we were made of in this game, and we showed how we're together, and 99% of the stuff said about us, isn't right. We show what we're made of. Okay, well, show what you're made of tonight. These are massive favorites at home in a game you should absolutely win against a team you're much better than. So I don't want to hear about the coach. I don't hear about Ime Udoka. I don't hear about anything. I don't hear about any of this stuff. You're better than the Heat. You should win. And you should win the next one. You should win the next one. You should win this series. Even now, you should win this series. I don't want to hear it. Jeff in the car on Joe Judge. Yes, Jeff.
Kimberly, Jeff in L.A. here. How we doing, guys? Yeah, just on the Judge thing, don't you think it's more realistic that it was a coach or a staffer that ratted him out? You imagine being a colleague of that guy? I'd totally throw him under the bus if it helped my own career advancement. And humbly, I'm one of the greatest callers of all time, too.
Okay. Another staffer, Maz?
I doubt it. Again, like the thing that I found interesting is that in the league memo that Greg Bedard, or the document that Greg Bedard got access to, the league identified Judge as a special teams coach, which he isn't. Not entitled.
No, he's the assistant head coach.
Well, maybe he's kind of also taken that from Cam Accord. Cam Accord feels usurped, and he's the one that dimed him out, something like that.
That's basically what popped into my head as the caller said it. But you know what? If you're Cam Accord and Bill Belichick has covered your ass for however many years it's been, you're going to dime out his guy?
So, by the way, do you believe any of that?
No.
No. Okay.
No. But if it's true, it just shows more dysfunction. I mean, whatever, they can't get through the first week.
Yeah. I'd be more worried if it's the players.
And it's like the fact that it wasn't egregious almost makes it worse. Right? If they were out there in helmets and pads in a clear violation, it's like, well, you morons, but
now we're trying to gain an edge.
Well, no, but you'd also understand why a player would say something. It's like, guys, we haven't done this in a decade. You don't hit in June. Mm-hmm. Like, we haven't done this in 30 years. So it's like you would understand the players calling the union on that. For 20 extra minutes? For a special teams workshop?
Workshop.
The players hate Joe Judge. It's obvious. They want to get him fired, so they narked on him.
Exactly. It tells you
the fact that it was such a piddling thing that it rose to the level of contacting the union and sanctions, it tells you how much the players despise Joe Judge.
They're just looking for a reason.
And aren't afraid to defy Bill Belichick and, you know, throw a monkey wrench into the whole thing early on in camp. That's what that shows you.
Yes.
Over 20 bleeping minutes.
It's the most alarming part of the whole thing. If you're Bill, that they're looking at it going, no, we're not cutting this guy any slack. Zero.
And this is another new reality of life without Brady and life without winning championships. Back in the Brady years, back in the championship years, no matter how much the players may have hated their special teams coach or any position coach, they're not calling the league or the union on 20 extra minutes because we're winning championships. And when you're winning championships, you don't step out of line or you're the a-hole because you are led to believe that whatever you're doing is working. These extra 20 minutes are winning us championships. So you don't bitch about the extra 20 minutes or else you're some sort of, you know, again, some sort of a-hole. But now that you're not winning or now that the winning's over, they drop the dime. So, I mean, that's another condition. But it's mostly about Joe Judge and the players' lack of trust.
But there is an element to Bill here, and that is that these new players coming in and these younger players, they look at Belichick as just another coach because guess what? Bill hasn't won a playoff game in what, 3, 4, 5 years? There's no respect from the players. It's obvious. They want to get them all out of here.
I mean, I think that that is really the part of the story that is lasting. You know, that they looked at it and they didn't have enough respect for the whole thing to let it go. And I say the whole thing, meaning Bill and Judge.
Yeah, the whole operation.
Right. They didn't have enough respect for it or believe in it enough to just say, guys, we're going to let this go.
A 20-minute workshop led to a formal complaint to the union, a grievance, and a ruling.
Correct.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
But I think it speaks to the state of things down
there. The motives. That's right.
Jeremy in Brookfield. Go ahead, Jeremy.
They hate their coach.
Guys, I think that, like, with the Celtics team, you're better off going to a morgue to find a set of functioning balls and heart than with this team. And, like, I just hope that they can go into this game still. I almost got the feeling they were pissed off from how they were humiliated in game 3. And I kind of hope they can just keep carrying that with them. But, I mean, I doubt it at this point.
Well, now it gets harder. I mean, the other night was about saving face. Now it's about, ooh, you're actually expected now to win and start doing something. So now it's different, and they haven't fared as well in this circumstance versus the one I just mentioned.
Yeah, listen, the other thing is, and I'm not picking at the word choice, because I think that they do believe they saved face. Have they?
Oh, I don't think so.
They're down 3-1. If they lose 4-1, that's saving face?
Against a team that's not even in their class.
Like, to me, there's no dignity in avoiding a sweep. Like,
put gentlemen's in front of it.
Right.
You still look like a-holes.
It's the same crap. It's still a gross underachievement. You got to win the series to change the narrative.
Mike in Bridgewater on Joe Judge. Hi, Mike.
Hey, guys. Quick shout out to the caller who compared Deuce Tatum to the NBA's biggest racist ever. That's
serious.
Something.
But, what was that?
We can all agree that, the idea of diming out Joe Judge is unequivocally hilarious and Joe's a big boob, but you guys are looking at this all wrong. I mean, think of how last season ended and the horrible job that Cam Court did. I mean, they should be having 4-hour workshops on special teams down there. Are you kidding me? An extra 20 minutes? I mean, the rest of OTA should be dedicated to special teams after last year's choke job. Thanks, guys.
Okay. I am of this. This is a whole side rant. But special teams shouldn't be that complicated. I've given you this rant a million times.
They're now more useless than ever.
Especially now. Okay.
Kicking it in the end zone and fair catching.
That's it.
Yeah.
That's
except for,
it.
Except for the punter.
Kick it into the end zone, or if you're the punter, kick it out of bounds or just really high. Okay. So if you're kicking, don't allow for a return, which is super simple because you can just blast it in the end zone if you're kicking off. And if you're punting, you just pop it up in the air or kick it out of bounds. And if you're returning, put your hand up in the air. Either take a knee or put your hand up in the air. You'll get it at the 25. Okay? It's really not that complicated.
No, I can do that.
The rest of you, just if you're on the special team, know when you're supposed to be on the field and be on the field. And that's pretty much it. That's pretty much it. Fair catch, kick the ball out of bounds or through the end zone, and everybody just be ready to go when it's time to go. That's really all you need to. Why do we need an extra workshop? field goal team is a field goal team. When we're in field goal range and it's third down, line your asses up right here. And if we fail on fourth down, we're going to send you out there. If you're on the punt team on third down, stand on the white, be ready to go. If you're on the kickoff team, this one's a lot easier. It's after we score a touchdown, just run out onto the field. That's where you're going to be. And you're not going to have to do anything because we're going to tell our kicker to kick it out of the back of the end zone. So you don't even have to do anything.
Correct.
Just be out there. Line up.
Yep.
Don't move.
And don't go offside.
And I would say on the kick return team, the same thing. Well, the don't move part means you're not going to jump off. Just don't move. You don't need to move because we're going to kick it out of the back of the end zone. And on the return team, our guy's either going to take a knee in the end zone, he's going to let it roll out of the back of the end zone, or now he's just going to put his effing hand in the air and we'll get the ball at the 25. No one's going to touch anybody. No one's going to do anything. So there was the Felger and Maz special teams workshop.
Right. Took 2 minutes.
We just covered it all.
Didn't take 20.
Oh, my God. It's insane.
I didn't talk loud enough.
I bet you I could fair catch a punt.
Oh, it's not that hard. If no one's going to hit you.
Yeah, right.
If no one's going to hit you, there's nothing to worry about.
Right. Once you start waving, you're covered. You give me just a couple of kicks to get my bearings, then I'm good.
You know,
I could catch it.
And I would add, just to the workshop, I would add a fifth rule to special teams, which is if for some reason our dingbat kicker can't kick it through the back of the end zone or kick it out of bounds, and we actually have a kick return here, and now I'm actually speaking to the returning team.
No, right, like if you're playing for the Jets.
Don't touch anybody because they're going to throw a flag. So no touching. It's up to the dingbat kickers to kick the ball out of the end zone or out of bounds or up a million miles in the air. It's up to the returners just a fair catch. If none of those things happen, which now happen like 80% of the time, but if we get one of these rare instances where there actually is a return, don't any of you touch anybody because they're going to throw a flag. So we're just going to field the ball and go down and line up and let our quarterback play football because the league doesn't want any of this happening in the first place.
Right, and if you're the Patriots, after you let your quarterback play football, you're going to punt.
So that's, again, there was the Felger and Maz special teams workshop. No violations there. Final segment of your tremendous phone calls and thoughts after Big Jim Murray gets you.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Now, more of Felger and Maz. Now, on the Sports Hub.
The Celtics are still alive, and they win comfortably. Why do I get the feeling this is going seven games? There's probably no reason to think that. I know it's recency bias, and this is what the Celtics do. This is who the Celtics were during the regular season. This is who the Miami Heat were during the regular season, where you go, man, the Heat, they're not that good. Celtics, man, they're great. And then you get fooled into how are they going to perform if they did this over 82 games? Well, they get into a seven-game series. Well, that's what makes these matchups so interesting because sometimes you don't match up with that team. But last night, you saw what Boston is capable of doing. Is it too little too late? And I did think about this. You know, when you think about no team comes back from a 3-0 deficit. And then I always think of the Red Sox when they came back from a 3-0 deficit and happened to witness that firsthand. And then who do I see courtside last night but Derek Jeter and Alex Rodriguez? Well, of course, there will be a comeback. And if Curt Schilling shows up with a bloody sock tomorrow night, then it's on.
So again, Curt Schilling, probably not the guy's multitude of reasons. Unfortunately, not enough goodwill left between him and the fans. Incredibly, it's still one of the most incredible stories. Like the guy should own the town. But obviously not the case. Never mind. I don't know how a lot of Celtics players, or anyway, Heat players, would feel about Curt Schilling courtside. Not exactly their kind of guy either. But David Ortiz, if you're the Celtics, how do you not have David Ortiz front and center tonight.
Yeah, it's not beneath them. They brought Tom Brady with them to woo Kevin Durant.
Ortiz has been at a few of these Celtic playoff games.
Yeah,
so
let's, in there last
he loves
year.
Basketball. Yeah,
put him out there. Show him. Let's get that juice. Let's get that juju going. Let's get that karma going. Like, I don't know why I've fallen sucker for this angle, but I have. I have. If I were the Celtics, I'd do it. If I were a big Celtic fan, Red Sox fan, I saw David Ortiz there tonight. That'd get me kind of hot and bothered, I got to tell you.
I mean, it's one of the things that you can do that not many places can.
Which is my point before.
Exactly. Which is, you know, just hold that out there and let it dangle.
The dopamine hit of nostalgia and belief.
Oh.
Oh, the bang, bang right there.
Yeah, can you feel it a little bit? You too?
Right, exactly. Well, and they better do it before they lose.
Yeah, then
that's what
then
I'm saying.
Then it's clangs away and here come the boos.
But then you'll at least have that moment, like the Bruins regular season. You'll always have that moment where they showed Jeter and A-Rod in the crowd in Miami in Game 3 and you won. Then you come back for Game 4, and there's Ortiz in the front row for Game 4, and you start to come back from 3-0 down. Even if they don't do it, you had those moments. Like, that's pretty good. No one else gets to do that, Boston. Don't you understand? No one else has had these moments.
In fact, it could be gone by the end of the first quarter.
So take it while you can. Take it while you can.
But do it anyway.
And Millar don't even do it for me. Ortiz. Put Ortiz's fanny in the front row tonight. Has anyone brought this? I'm sure someone's brought this up. Has anyone checked into this?
That it's happening?
I mean, he's around. Well,
we can text some people.
I mean, he's not like, he's always sort of in the orbit around here.
Yeah, no, and he's got to be buddies with Horford, right? They're both Dominican. Horford's old man's in the stadium. I bet you Ortiz's old man knows him.
Fine. Whatever it takes. Get Ortiz there, front and center.
All right.
Anyway, we got you covered tonight with the game. 98.5 The Sports Hub, tip at 8:30. They've been tipping these pretty close to 8:30. Lucky for us.
Oh, it's been nice. Like 8:32.
Boom. So that's the tip here on 98.5 The Sports Hub, pregame at 8. Let's zip through these calls here before we hit the final word. How about Dean in Shrewsbury? Yes, Dean.
They shouldn't play Malcolm Brogdon. Obviously, his injury is bothering him a ton. If he can't shoot, he's basically useless. He can play make a little bit, but he's not good on the defensive end. They should be playing a combination of Pritchard, Hauser, and Grant for Malcolm's minutes, which is too bad to say, but he's just not helping us.
Right. It feels like it's overcomable.
I'm with Dean.
It's not like he's been helping you anyway, so how is it really going to hurt you if he's off the floor?
Yeah, and he's not much of a playmaker.
He's definitely not.
No, he's really a scorer, which, again, it's fine for what they need him for. I play the other two guys the bulk of the minutes, White and Smart. I didn't even think about Pritchard. He's right. Brogdon's not that good defensively anyway. That's a wash.
Todd and Dudley.
Right now.
Go ahead, Todd. What do you got?
Hey, I just wanted to challenge you guys to actually catching punts. If you guys, you know, catch one out of the five, you can practice, or catch three out of the 10, then I'll buy you guys lunch.
Todd, I'll catch 5 of 5.
I don't think so.
Okay, you're on.
World-class hand-eye, as he always says.
I mean, if I start to, as I told you the other day.
I'm Shakes the Clown. I'd probably get one. I'll tell you that right now.
I'll catch it.
If I start to run with it, I'm not going anywhere, or I will fumble it upon contact. But I will catch the thing. I catch everything.
Yeah, I told you. I need one or two to just get my bearings.
I don't even need that.
Yes, you do.
No, I don't.
Yes, you do. You need to see how it comes off the foot. You need the wind and all that.
No, I don't. You're probably going to download an app to help you.
No, I don't need an app. Please. I get tremendous ability to track the
ball. Naz will come out with like his GPS gear and all these other gadgets related to it.
Yeah, this was my idea. I'm doing it.
It was a caller's idea. What are you talking about?
No, I said it last segment.
You said what last segment?
That I would catch a punt.
Oh, not as like an actual Felger and Maz challenge, though.
No, but fine.
Let's go.
I'm in. You and I could have a little competition.
Challenge.
Yeah. We'll get Jake Bailey down there.
He's in Miami now. We'll find like a college kicker.
We'll find
something.
A punter.
Yeah.
High school punter.
That won't be that tough.
Find a punter.
I'm in.
We'll find a real punter and we'll go toe-to-toe.
People think I'm joking about this.
I'm not joking. 5 for 5, caller. 5 for 5.
Oh, I totally can do this.
Okay, done. Here's Lakar in Boston. Hi, Lakar.
Hey, what's happening? Does it seem to any of you that Jaylen Brown hasn't played any good basketball since he became second NBA? He's getting a new contract and stuff. It just seems like once he found out he got what he wants, it seems like he's not playing as good as he did.
Yeah, maybe. There's maybe a little bit of that. I think it really feels more like he was good against Atlanta. I feel like the hand thing you know, sort of popped back up somehow.
He doesn't strike me as the kind of guy who would shut it down just because he got his contract. I'm not saying it's not possible. But I think, look, there is probably something wrong with his hand.
It's got to be. He's always looking at it. And
okay, you have an air ball from the free throw line that you missed the rim by 3 feet?
So I think there's...
he got no feeling in the thing.
But, I mean, I have more questions about Tatum. Big game, clutching late, mental toughness. Definitely have more questions about Tatum. But that doesn't mean I have no questions about Jaylen Brown. I mean, just because Jaylen Brown had a better final last year than Tatum doesn't mean like he had a great final or carried them or did any sort of thing like that. He was just better than their best player. So I still have questions about Tatum's championship makeup like I do Tatum. Not as much, not as many questions, but I still have them about Brown. I don't know if he has what it takes to lead, co-lead, be one of the leaders of a championship team. I'm not sure of that yet.
No, thank you for saying that. He's 30 for 77 in the series, by the way, and 3 for 25 from 3. Like, you know, and what? Why should we just assume it's an injury? Maybe he's gagging too.
Exactly. That's really what I was... Thank you for putting that more succinctly. Bobby and Lowell. Yes, Bobby.
Yeah, I just got a few points I'd like to make. I think Rob should get more minutes than Al, and no matter what happens the rest of the way, we need a new coach. He's lost the team, and we need to get rid of Marcus Smart. He thinks it's a big three. He doesn't realize he's just a role player. And you guys hit it on the nose a few days ago when you said he was googly eyes over Jimmy Butler. You could see it last game. Thanks, guys.
Yeah, Coach Smart. Here's Jim in Florida. Yes, Jim.
Yeah, thanks for taking my call. First off, Mavs, great. Great job on the Mavs' tiers. Love that trip down memory lane.
You're welcome.
But the reason I called, I want to call out Murray. I mean, the other day I was listening, and he was actually hoping that the Celtics lose. I mean, that's ridiculous. Okay, I want my home team to win.
Well, not if you find them detestable and childish and unprofessional. Then I want them to get swept.
Or you've bet on the Heat.
Yeah, but I didn't bet on the Heat that night. I actually bet on the Celtics. Right. Yeah, so it was a win-win, though. Either the Celtics would lose and this detestable lot would be out of my face, or I would win money. And I won money, and the series continues. And they'll probably lose at home tonight in front of the fans, and they'll get booed off the floor, which is funny, and that's a win for me, too.
Yeah, Murray, how can you pick against the home team? I don't understand.
Because I've been blood to death on this, too. I genuinely like the Celtics. This particular group of them, though, I'm done with.
So you mean
I like three players. Al Horford, Derek White, Rob Williams. That's really it.
When you say you like that, you mean the brand, your hometown
organization,
team,
all of that.
You're a Celtics fan. But the
Tatum, Brown, Smart thing, like after them going down 3-0 in the quit in game three, like enough. This thing's not going to work. I don't trust them. I haven't trusted them all year. Now it's all coming to fruition. I don't think they're going to come back and win this thing. So enough. That's why I was rooting for them to get swept the other night.
Ryan and Quincy on Joe Judge. Yes, Ryan.
So, guys, you nailed it with how he's coaching the special teams. Like, that's the easiest thing to coach. And can you imagine this guy, like, trying to teach the alphabet, like, how much he would complicate it? Like, all right, boys, A, we got a big triangle with a line through it. Now, lowercase, a circle with a line. Like,
he make it come in 20 minutes early to do it. Like, again, special teams. And he's already screwing it up.
Next time, won't you sing with me?
Costing the money and draft and practice time. I was going to say draft picks. That's other cheating scandals. Maz and I have done the challenges before. I think Vinny's going to queue up here. This is after Billy Cundiff missed from 31. We lined up and tried to make from 31. Maz, not so much.
Look at that head of lettuce on you, Maz.
Yeah, no, I had hair back then. Well, not really, but.
Well, that's more hair than now.
See, but again, I needed a couple of kicks to get loose, and the last one I freaking drilled.
Well, after like 20 minutes.
So this is marked at 31.
Yes, that's marked at 31. How does Maz do here? Not so hot.
No. Stick with it.
I don't know. How much do you have? 20 minutes? If I took Maz like 20 minutes to get one.
Did we do three kicks or did we do five? You know what? Now that I think of it, it might not be on film.
Yeah, because it took so long. You were there for like 45 minutes and one finally went through.
One of these. No,
Cundiff didn't get four tries.
How about this guy? How about Fat Face Felger? Look at this fat dump.
Looks like he ate a couple footballs.
Good on my first try. Right, very drilled good. Right down the middle.
No, that was a good kick.
Suck on that, because I...
Pure athletic
skill,
right?
Pure athleticism.
Elite hand eye.
That's what I got. Well,
my foot
ain't so hot. I probably missed the second one, but I drilled the first one. I didn't need any warm-up, Maz. I walked right out there and drilled the freaking thing.
Good for you. You say tomato, I say tomato.
Nice. Right. This, all right, Vinny, you can cut it right there. You can cut it right there.
That was not good.
Dan in Winchester. Yes, Dan, go ahead.
Hey, real quick, I guess you must be a pretty decent athlete. You, if you can catch 5 out of 5, that's pretty impressive. I used to, back in the day, and the hottest thing I found about...
This isn't story time. I don't want about you catching punts. This is not about you and your football. This is about us and our football career. Okay, it's the Felger and Maz show, not the Dan and Winchester show. I don't want to hear about you catching punts. Maz and I are going to go out there. This is the next challenge. 5 for 5, Maz. 5 for 5.
I'm in.
Okay. Now we got to find a punter.
Yeah.
And a field.
That's easy. Right. That's the easiest thing.
Yeah, easy. I don't want a high school punter. That's too easy.
What do you mean it's too easy? It's a punt's a punt.
A high school punter?
Who cares?
What do you want, crack?
What's the difference?
What, some fat offensive lineman who's going to kick it 25 yards?
They have actual punters in high school that
will
punt properly.
Not really. Not in this part of the country.
The rest of us get to run at you, too. We obviously can't light you up, but we're going to come run at you and yell at you.
I'll fair catch it, and you can run by me like Chris Board's going to be doing all season long.
Me, Jimmy, Majori, whoever else wants to come on at you.
You know what? We should get Matthew Slater involved.
No.
We're not going to ask anyone legitimate because they don't want to do it. Who wants to waste their time on
I know somebody who will do this.
On
for
our
you.
Jackassery. Who?
Your friend, Josh Miller. Josh Miller should be the punter.
I'm going to fly him in from Jupiter, Florida and have him punt to us. What are you crazy?
We've got the budget for it.
No, we don't.
We should be able to get a punter at BC or something.
They don't want to do it. I don't want to ask them to do it.
I'll ask him. Give me his number. I'll call
him. Like,
you know, let's get the punter at BU. That's right. They don't have.
If I were a college punter and I got some call from some jackass radio station where you can punt for our two talk show hosts, I'd be like, F yourself. I have better things to do. I'm not going to impose on someone. The greatest gift you can give someone is not imposing. So I'm not going to ask anyone legit.
What if we do it with Tufts?
When I say legit, I mean anyone, a high school kid, there. We might find one or two high school kids who actually want to do it.
I'm like, a high school kid? Was he going to kick it 25 yards?
You have no idea that these kids can actually kick the ball, Mass.
Not in this part of the country.
Yes, they can.
No?
Yes, they can.
No, I'll get the punter from Tufts.
Well, you might as well get a high school kid at that point. I mean, what are we talking about?
So now it doesn't matter to you.
No, you're right. I didn't even realize Tufts still has football.
Oh, yeah. Unlike BU.
Okay, whoa. Too bad I can't root for the Jumbos.
I think Zoltan Mesko, former Patriots punter, lives in the area. I'll give him a call.
Seriously?
Yeah.
Okay, seriously. Get his ass down here. We'll do it.
I'll give him $200. He'll do it.
We'll find a punter.
We'll go to the Waltham High Field. It's right down the street.
Real quick, you want to watch Maz play golf?
Yes.
He's actually better than football. We're back for the 12th annual Who's Your Caddy Classic. Benefiting the Pediatric Advanced Care Team at Boston Children's Hospital. Monday, June 12th, Brook Meadow Country Club in Canton, 8 a.m. shotgun start. On sale Thursday, June 1 at 10 a.m. These slots sell out within minutes.
Quickly,
minutes,
very
seconds.
Quickly.
Okay, so it's like, you thought Taylor Swift was something else? This is the Who Your Caddy Classic. It's the same deal. You got to get on early, and you got to be ready to roll or else you're out. But it starts Thursday, June 1st at 10 a.m., the ticket sale does. The actual event's Monday, June 12th at Brook Meadow Country Club in Canton. $700 per foursome, includes 18 holes of golf, golf cart, gift bag, a post-round lunch, live and silent auction, 50-50 raffle, and the chance to win a brand new Jeep with a hole-in-one. How about them apples?
And Murray might even give you a little something if you run into him on the course.
Murray will be running around with a little party favor situation. Okay? It's all to benefit Maz's great charity at Children's Hospital, Maz, or the Floating Hospital for Children. I'm sorry.
No, Children's Hospital Boston. It is the Pediatric Advanced Care Team. They treated my nephew many years ago. He didn't make it past 10 months, but they were a tremendous care for him at that time. So we've had a connection with them ever since. And they're still the charity of choice for this event.
So awesome. Support the event. It's a great event. You get to hobnob with the Sports Hub personalities as well. It's sponsored by Jeep, Source Promo, and The Long Drink. Okay? Again, that's a Who's Your Caddy Classic. Get on board with it. Final word is next.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Felger's expert analysis.
Not from this talk radio crazy.
Maz's hard-hitting questions.
What am I, like the freaking abrasive police here?
The caller's bringing knowledge to the table.
Maz, the adults are talking.
It's time to recap this four-hour show in 4 minutes. It's the final word on Felger and Maz on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Final word brought to you by Town Fair Tire. If you're looking for the best deal on tires, there's only one place to go. Town Fair Tire. The best prices and great free services. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire.
Nobody, Jim.
Nobody. Well, we had a lot of fun at the expense of yet another cheating scandal with the Patriots. And Joe Judge today, so let's replay that.
What I want to know, who ratted him out? Who ratted him out? Who's the snitch? So what's behind it? I want to know.
So with Zolak and Bertrand today insisted, from what he heard, there was no dime dropping. Okay? So just, you know, for the record, that's what Zo heard and said today on the air. Murray, your thoughts?
Hello, league. They were making us do a lot of hitting and stuff.
Who's calling?
Just call me Deep Throat. Patriots stuff.
Click.
Judge would speak extra loudly in meetings, trying to project like he was the guy, another source said, and I think that kind of rubbed people the wrong way. End quote. Gentlemen, we're here to work. We're here to learn the scallop technique. We're here to improve ourselves as human beings.
We're having a workshop. It's time to brainstorm.
I expect you're here at 7 a.m. We will discuss these matters until promptly 7:20 a.m., at which point you will have breakfast for 5 minutes, 7:25 a.m. You will then take a walk around the building to burn off any excess fat. You will return to the building at 7:27 a.m.
And how does Mac Jones respond from the back of the room, Murray? Or to the PA?
Ring.
Hello, NFLPA.
Hello? I'd like to report a violation and stuff.
Okay, with what team?
Patriots.
Who is this?
Call me Deep Throw. That's right, I got a good arm. It's Joe Judge. Joe Judge, right, I gotta go.
Oh, my God.
I wouldn't put it past him. Him and Joe Judge, like oil and water.
Love it. Definitely. I could have done that for 4 hours today. And so we did it for like two. All right, here comes the baseball hour. It's actually McTakey and Carabas, from what I understand.
Right.
It is. It's McCarthy and Carabas. I have a commitment tonight. I have a commitment. So McCarthy is going to fill in. I would love to tell you what the show's about, but I don't know.
Baseball. And the Sox recent skid would be my guess.
Definitely.
Enjoy the Celtics tonight on 98.5 The Sports Hub. We're back tomorrow at 2 p.m. on an agenda-free Friday to discuss. We'll see you then, guys.
See ya.
I'm Bill. I can do whatever I want. Eric Cartman voice, man. Like, yes, that's exactly what's going on still. I'm Bill. I can do whatever I want. Yeah. Patriots cheaters. Trying to cut corners. Too physical in practice. Yeah, I know.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.